You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets, send the hot takes at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. Final hour, Andrew Filippone coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a hell of a time. You're going to love the Pony Express. I'm telling you now, you are going to plots when you get to hear the Pony Express later today. Well, what? Chris Moore's in? You are going to love Chris Moore in for Pony. It is going to be sensational. Why is the Pony Express out? What has he got to do today?
I don't know. I learned this information yesterday, so.
Guys, I'm telling you, you thought you'd like the Pony Express. Chris Moore's even better. Rare treat, Moore in for Pony, 2-6. You're going to love him. Forget what I said about Pony. He's a bum. Okay? He wouldn't even have made any sense. He'd be saying things. It's basically like if Kyrie Irving had a four-hour radio show. You're going to sit there at the end of every segment going, what the hell is he talking about? I have no idea. So listen to Chris Moore. He's coming up at 2 o'clock. We did you a service. Forget every good thing I ever said about the Pony Express. 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to get to the calls here in a second. Ah, hell, I'm going to do the call now. Chris in Baltimore. You're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, Browns might go 11-5 and not make the playoffs, because if they finish in a four-way tie with Baltimore, Miami, and either Tennessee or the other team there, Colts, they won't make the playoffs because them and the Ravens will have the worst conference record, and then the tiebreaker between Baltimore and Cleveland, of course, goes to Baltimore because they beat them twice.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's about as Cleveland as it gets that I mean, they expand the playoffs. I'm going, wow, great. They've expanded the playoffs to another team. This is going to be wonderful. And it's like you really got to win 11 or maybe even 12 games to make sure you make the playoffs.
Yeah, if they don't win against Pittsburgh, it's going to be tough for them.
I think, and thank you for the call, Chris. I think Bishop Gorman could probably get into the playoffs in the NFC. Meanwhile, I can't get anything going in the AFC. Yeah, it's rough. I mean, it's been a great season, but when you're 9-4, like, come on, you go. You got to make the playoffs here. You got the Giants, who are a try-hard team, but they have Colt McCoy going tomorrow. It looks like, at least according to Adam Schefter, it looks like it's going to be that way. And they got the Jets. The Jets are not just playing. The Jets won't be playing opponents, not just opponents, for the rest of the year. The Jets also play against their record. As somebody who's been through an 0-16 season recently, your team doesn't start playing against opponents. The record is always there. So you're basically in a handicap match where you're playing 2-on-1. You're playing against your own history, and you're playing against the opponent there, and then you start to press. And bad teams that press is not a good thing. So the Jets are in a very tough spot right now. 855-212-4CBS. Also paying attention to Ohio State Northwestern right now. Northwestern on top 7-3 early. So all the hand-wringing that we did, it's just the beginning of the second quarter, and Northwestern looks like they're going to start it around their own 5-yard line, 6-yard line. All the hand-wringing we did through the first 3 hours of the show, even though it's only the beginning of the second quarter, it may all be for naught. I wanted to bring this up right now. I decided to take a call first because I talked about Pittsburgh with Jordan DeJohnny. And speaking of Pony, because it was all going to make sense, I decided to take the call, and I probably should have just went with that, even though the call was still pretty decent. Fine. I listened to Pony and Mueller, and even though we give each other a lot of problems, they are buddies of mine. And I've actually read Chris Mueller's stuff, too, in the Beaver County Times. And he is frequently, and it's much to the chagrin of the Pittsburgh football fan, he has frequently brought up Ben Roethlisberger and how Ben Roethlisberger insists on taking over the offense and insists on the power play of the offense. There are other people who subscribe to that theory. I go back to week 7 with Tennessee. What was making Ben Roethlisberger, and I defended Ben Roethlisberger through week 7 of the game against Tennessee because I thought what some of the stuff that people were saying about Ben Roethlisberger was unfounded. And I think at times because of Ben Roethlisberger's personal history, and while he's been exonerated of that, even though I think a lot of that stuff is disgusting, we kind of are harder on him with football because we can't go after him for those other things. I'm trying to remain fair to the football. That's what I'm trying to do when it comes to Ben Roethlisberger. And watching him at the beginning of the year, there was a running game, there was defense being played. He didn't have to go out there and throw for 400 yards at a clip and change the way that they conduct their offense. They were winning football games efficiently. They were winning football games really the way a good team, a good quality team, wins football games. They were doing well. They were doing really what a team should do when they have a 38-year-old quarterback, not just coming off an injury, but a 38-year-old quarterback in general. They were doing the things that Tampa Bay should have been doing with Tom Brady. Hey, you got an offensive line. You have weapons. Throw underneath. You can throw underneath. I don't need you to load up and try to go vertical every single play. Those days are done. You're coming off an elbow injury. You've lost weight, but you're still old and rickety compared to where you used to be. You don't need to do those things. And they at the beginning of the year, they were doing that. And then Tennessee in week 7 came along. And my defense of Ben Roethlisberger was, I know that guys like, what they say, that goofball Chris Sims didn't put him in the top 10 for whatever reason, just to get his name said on the radio. Congratulations, it worked. Then you have Pro Football Focus, who had Daniel Jones ranked ahead of him. I don't know how they do it. I've agreed with Pro Football Focus before. I've disagreed with Pro Football Focus before. There was the Bill Barnwell article that came out, and as while I respect Bill Barnwell, it was just a theorem there. No, it wasn't Bill Barnwell. I beg your pardon. It was Graziano, who had what could the cap casualties be? Thank you. And I respect Graziano, too. It was just a theory. Like, hey, it's a $41 million cap hit. Even though the team's been built for him, it's a possibility. I don't believe it whatsoever, and neither should any Steelers fan, because you've given up a lot to make sure that Ben Roethlisberger is going to be a part of your franchise. Week 7 comes around against Tennessee. The Steelers build up this big lead. And they're doing it. They're building up the big lead, playing the type of football that they have in the past. They took advantage of things. Their defense played well. They got out. They took advantage of any sort of opportunity that Tennessee would give them. And then the second half came around, and Ben Roethlisberger, the new version of Ben Roethlisberger, decided to go back to old Ben Roethlisberger, and it nearly cost him. I wonder about the future of the Pittsburgh Steelers. One can be because of injury. You lose Devin Bush. You lose Bud Dupree on the other side of T.J. Watt. That's going to affect T.J. Watt. There's a couple of injuries here that are very, very difficult. Joe Hayden being out, who has got a renaissance as a defensive back for that football team, being out with a concussion over the last couple of weeks, that makes things more difficult on the Pittsburgh Steelers. There is an injury element to this, but it's week 15. I think there's an injury element to every football team in the NFL. That game, it's starting to become my theory that they would have been better off had Tennessee came back and actually won that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers in week 7. That game, to me, justifies to Ben Roethlisberger that Big Ben can still be Big Ben, that he can go back and do the things that he used to do, which is wind up, throw the ball 40 or 50 times, have 400 yards passing, conduct what he thinks is a great offense, and go out and win football games that way. Or lose stupid football games, but win most of the games that you're supposed to win and still have a 10-plus, 11-plus record. Though make no mistake about it, he is one of the most talented quarterbacks I think I've ever seen. And in this generation of quarterbacking, it has always been my contention that for Ben Roethlisberger, I've been disappointed in his career because he has twice or three times the athletic ability of Tom Brady. He does not have twice or three times the preparation or ability to get ready for an opponent the way that Tom Brady is. It's not, to me, it shouldn't be Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady in that annal of history, even though that they're both older than Ben Roethlisberger, and that's where you would naturally set it up. It shouldn't be just that way. I think it should have been naturally more a Ben Roethlisberger versus Tom Brady scenario. And if Ben Roethlisberger had done the things that Tom Brady had done and had that type of fire and passion the way that Tom Brady does to prepare the week before a proponent, before an opponent, to do what's necessary in the offseason, to make sure that your body is in necessary shape to deal with the punishment so we're not hearing about all these injuries the way that we did just because you're the big mountain of a man that you are, that you would have taken away two Super Bowls and probably three appearances from Tom Brady, that you should be a guy who probably has, instead of two, and I've broken this down a couple of months ago, you should probably have four Super Bowls by this time at age 38. But you don't, because you've played by the seat of your pants. You've been naturally better than 90-plus percent of the quarterbacks out there at any given time, with the exception of Brady and Manning, Rodgers, the elite. You've been part of the elite. And to watch Ben Roethlisberger last week and the week before, and going off of what Chris Mueller has written, going off of what he's talked about on his radio show in the afternoon on 97.3 The Fan, or 93.7 The Fan out there in Pittsburgh, it looks more and more like it makes sense. An offense that's still predicated on running, like with Matt Canada, that where Randy Feuchner has turned into a scapegoat for this offense because nobody wants to blame Ben Roethlisberger. I can blame injuries, but I can blame injuries on everything else in the NFL, on every other team in the NFL. If Ben Roethlisberger were to try to go back to being the new Ben Roethlisberger, if the old Ben Roethlisberger would go back to the new Ben Roethlisberger with three games left to go, they'd still be one of the teams that have a realistic shot to beat Kansas City. But I couldn't do that last week when I brought up the top five teams I thought who had a shot to knock off Kansas City. I had two teams in there that were predicated on the run. In the AFC, I had two teams predicated on the run in Tennessee and Cleveland that I thought had a better chance to beat Kansas City. Kansas City's offense with Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been up and down. That's understandable. But if Ben Roethlisberger continues to play this way, and they'll still end up with a very good record. But if Ben Roethlisberger continues to play this way, not where he's playing overwhelmingly poorly, but he continues to just fly by the seat of his pants, does anybody in their right mind take Ben Roethlisberger at 38 years old coming off of that elbow injury where they say that his arm is getting weaker and tired, where he's banged up more than he's ever been, where his offensive line isn't getting the push, where they don't have a real healthy running game now? Does anybody take Ben Roethlisberger in a shootout against Patrick Mahomes? Tennessee can hold on to the football and play tough defense. Cleveland can't play very tough defense. They can hold on to the football. They give themselves a shot. If I were to go over to the NFC, I'd love what the Rams are doing. Love them. And Buffalo, Josh Allen can throw it on a rope. I'm worried about their run game. Their defense has really come to fruition here over the last 6 weeks. I can't put Pittsburgh in that mix, and the reason I can't put Pittsburgh in that mix right now is because Ben Roethlisberger won't let him be in that mix. If this season goes or continues to go the way that it is for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think winning Week 7 against Tennessee might have been the worst thing that they've done. 855-212-4CBS. Up next, work or shoot. Maybe I'll do the Home Alone theory. Maybe I won't. You're just going to have to find out. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio. You can't hear my dog, can you? Thank God. I know we're back on. A dog was barking his ass off. They got the Santa on the fire truck thing coming through the neighborhood right now, and they drop off the gifts, you know? So, Botch, that's what we're dealing with right now. I knew he'd be here during the show. I didn't think we'd make it through the show without him being here. So we got that we have to go with. 855-212-4CBS. Are we ready for work or shoot, Botch? I always ask. I don't care if you're ready or not. It's time for work or shoot, baby. Now, we know the rules, and if we don't know the rules, I have to put the premise of the rules. Work or shoot is like true or false, except it's like false or true, because a shoot is true and work is false. But I wanted to make sure that work and shoot is put in there instead of true or false, because true or false doesn't sound any good, and it doesn't confuse anybody. Well, work or shoot confuses just about everybody, and that's why we call it work or shoot. Let's go, baby.
Here we go, Ken. The National Hockey League and the NHLPA have reached a tentative agreement for a 56-game season with training camps beginning as soon as December 31st and the season set to open on January 13th. With plans to play games in teams' home arenas rather than hub cities, the divisions are to be realigned to limit travel, and all games will be in division, meaning teams will become very familiar with their opponent. So,
good.
Work or shoot, the NHL will still be exciting watching the same matchups all season.
Why wouldn't it be? I say shoot. Yeah, I say shoot. I think it'll be still exciting. It's still hockey. And plus, if they know each other very, very well, there's more chances for some bitterness to happen. Would there not be more fights, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Wouldn't there be more fights?
Yeah, you think
no,
there's
I don't,
a lot of bad
I'm
blood.
Not I'm not predicating everything on that game just based on fights. I know that. I know it bothers some hockey fans. But, yeah, there's going to be more bad blood if you're playing in division more times. So, yeah, go ahead and play the games. And I think it's still going to be hockey's still a fine product no matter what you do. There's been a couple of changes that they made. That's the problem of hosting the damn thing at home. I knew it when they changed that thing. All right, bring that music down just a little bit. You still got me? All right. You still got me, right? All right. Where was I? Oh, yeah. I respect hockey. I respect hockey fans. So I don't want to go popping off about just fights. But I think it makes for a more intimate setting, makes for either better bedfellows or more angrier people. And I would like to see that. So I think it makes for more bitter rivalries. I think that this is a good thing for hockey. Next.
Hall of Fame wide receiver Randy Moss was on the Terrell Owens podcast yesterday. And when asked who were the greatest wideouts of all time, went on to say, quote, I'll put myself first, you, meaning Terrell Owens, second, and I put Jerry, obviously meaning Jerry Rice, probably third or fourth, end quote. Work or shoot, Randy and T.O. were better receivers than Jerry Rice.
That's a work. Almost said it was a shoot by accident. That's a work. They're on with each other. Guys, like some of this has to go to your overall output as well. Now, if we're talking talent-wise, if I were going to do a ranking of those three, like they're all up there. They're all great wide receivers. Don't get me wrong. But if I were to go put these guys up there, I would put Jerry 1, Randy 2, T.O. 3. Output has to count for something. I don't know if Jerry is as naturally gifted as what Randy Moss is. I do think he's more naturally gifted than T.O., but I was a kid when Jerry Rice was playing, so yes, I was a kid when Randy Moss was playing college. I was a kid when T.O. was coming out. I was certainly a very young kid when Jerry Rice was in his heyday. That tends to skew these things because when you're a child, you tend to put people on a more legendary status. But for what Jerry Rice and his career did, Jerry Rice is number one. I'm sorry. I don't think he's the best overall football player. Like when they did the top 100, I was floored when they put Jerry Rice number one. I don't know how you put a wide receiver number one. But I put Jerry number one as far as wide receivers, Randy number two, T.O. is number three. Output has to count for something, and Jerry was the best with output. It's that simple. I know that they were on a podcast together and they're buddies and all that other stupid stuff, but let's be honest with each other. While they're all great, they are all great. Jerry's a cut above the rest. Next.
With New York Giants offensive coordinator Jason Garrett set to miss Sunday night's matchup with the Browns after a positive COVID test.
You did this on purpose.
Tight ends coach and former Cleveland head guy Freddie Kitchens will now be calling the plays for the G-men. Work or shoot, Kitchens' familiarity with the Browns is actually an advantage for the Giants on offense.
No, it isn't, because Freddie Kitchens has been calling plays against the Browns for the last 2 years. I don't know. I don't think it's an advantage. I think their offense is completely different, and their defense. Their defense is still a bit of a mess. There, it's going to take a couple years to get that thing figured out because you got to get the draft in. You got to get a couple of things in going. Listen, I got nothing against Freddie Kitchens. I think Freddie Kitchens is a fun guy to be around. and he probably is a good positional coach. And play calls, I think Freddie was right about play calls. We just think they're good play calls if they work. If they don't work, we don't think they're good play calls, but it's up to the players to execute them right. But there are play calls that just seem to lack common sense, and every coach has them, but Freddie seemed to have more than what other coaches have. And he was the wrong guy at the wrong time for that football team. Freddie tried to be, when you have a young foot, they're still, the Browns are still the fourth youngest team in the NFL, still. When you have a football coach who wants to be the cool dad for the young football team, you're going to run into problems. Like, my sons need discipline. My son needs somebody to be in their face with it. And I know, while I like to have a good time, Botch, you don't know me that well, but you know I like to have a good time, my wife is not going to be the one to overwhelm them with discipline. She doesn't want to be the bad guy. So guess who has to stand in there and be the bad guy? Me. I'm not like Bing Crosby. I don't think that my kids are going to write a book about me someday and how mean I really was. But I'm there in their face to hammer them with discipline when they need it. Because my job is for them to be better than me in their life. And it's the same thing as raising young quarterbacks. Your job is to make them better as quarterbacks, to make them the very best they can be. And when you have a young quarterback like that who you know can be a wild ass, talking about Baker Mayfield, you should not be as big of a wild ass as he is. You need to be in his face with discipline. And Kevin Stefanski is there with discipline that he craves. Aaron Rodgers doesn't need discipline. Aaron Rodgers is 38 years old or 36 years old. He has proven he can kind of handle it himself. Baker Mayfield, no. Josh Allen, the same thing. I brought up Josh Allen just last week. What Sean McDermott has done with Josh Allen has been remarkable. I hate this narrative that's playing out. I know you were asking about Freddie Kitchens. I just want to reiterate, I hate this narrative playing out where, well, this is where you got to give some time. Look at what Josh Allen did. Nobody thought Josh Allen was going to do very beginning. We knew he was going to be a project from the very get-go. His own coaches told me that in person. His own coaches at Wyoming told me that. That's me personally. We knew he was going to be a project. It was whether or not he would go to the right organization that had the patience and the right coaching. He went to Buffalo, and he does. He did, and he does. McDermott's done a great job. Josh Allen's done a great job. And hopefully they're reaping what they sow, because they've turned that thing into something very, very nice. And I really, really like watching the Buffalo Bills, and I really, really like watching Josh Allen. I think if Josh Allen were put with Freddie Kitchens, good God, that'd be a disaster. You have to have discipline. And Freddie did not have the discipline. So, no, I really don't think it's going to help out. If he does have Colt McCoy, it might help out a little bit better, though, because it's a defense you can play against and you can execute on. It really is. And Colt is going to make the right read on second down. He's not going to light up the New York skyline, but he's a guy who will make the right read. He'll check down. He'll eliminate turnovers the best he can. He'll put you in a position to win with defense. And the Giants' defense is pretty good. Jabril Peppers has had a good year, and Bradbury, for the most part, has had a good year, and other guys. And good God, I mean, you look at a guy like Leonard Williams, he's really come to fruition now. So there is some gold in them there hills with the New York Giants, certainly defensively. Next!
Dwayne Haskins will be starting this weekend for the football team as Alex Smith will sit against the Seahawks with a strained right calf. Haskins, making his first start since a Week 4 loss to the Ravens, will now be tasked with maintaining Washington's lead in the NFC East against a challenging playoff-bound foe. So, work or shoot, Dwayne Haskins can win his starting job back for good with a stellar performance on Sunday.
No, that is a work. You mean win a starting job back with the Washington football team for what you mean in perpetuity?
Yeah, for the football team.
You talking about for the rest of the year? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the organization regaining confidence in him.
No. That ship has sailed. I'm surprised they didn't find somebody else to play. I don't think they trust him at all. I think that Ron Rivera just walked into this going, all right, they took him in the first round next year. We'll see what he has, but they're really moving on. Washington's moving on from him. It might be to Alex Smith still, because I think we're seeing what Ron Rivera can do with a capable veteran quarterback. But I don't think that Dwayne Haskins is that guy. I don't have much hope for Dwayne Haskins. I didn't have much hope coming out. I think he was put in a horrible situation. I just talked about Josh Allen. I think he was put in a horrible situation. Jay Gruden didn't want him. The only one who seemed to want him was the owner, and then when the owner got him, he just dropped him and went, plop, you take care of him. And this is where guys are, like, Dwayne Haskins might be looked at as a bust someday, but there's guys that they just don't have a chance. They're taken by teams that they just don't have a shot. And I really think Washington is a team that just didn't give him a shot. Next.
All right, Ken, it seems someone forgot to turn on the MLB hot stove, as many free agents, including Trevor Bauer, JT Realmuto, and George Springer, still remain unsigned. With all the uncertainty surrounding the season and fan attendance, plus the revenue teams missed out on last season, work or shoot, signing a marquee agent to a multi-million dollar contract in baseball right now is bad business.
How can I say it is? Or how can I say it's good business? I think that's a shoot. I think you're straight shooting. All these guys are, it's interesting. All these teams are crying poor. So if they're actually being serious about crying poor, then it's bad business. Also, what am I going to do? Am I going to really sign a guy to a 10-year deal? They're already upset about it over in Philadelphia with Bryce Harper. I mean, good God, where else am I supposed to go with this? Nolan Arenado already wants out. They already want to trade there. Like, these long-term deals, if you got a team that can play around them, fine, but I don't know if it's equating to, and right now you're not going to get a chance to equate to higher attendance, because we're probably, even though that some of the early results are promising here, we're probably not going to have full attendance in Major League Baseball next year, at least at the beginning of the season. So you're already hurting your gate there. I do think that fans will go out to see stars at the plate more than they will to see them at the mound. Because you can only play once every fifth day as a starter. You can play every day as a hitter. So if you have a 7-game homestand, you're going to be able to see a guy like Bryce Harper play 7 times. But if he's not playing that well, then it's just going to be upsetting the people that are there, because we know that Philadelphia sports fans are very good, strong sports fans. And they might show up to boo the guy instead of, but it's still the money all spends. But I think that now when you want one of these bigger contracts, these longer-term contracts, I just don't know if it makes sense regardless. And I certainly don't think it makes sense after this, where you're talking about one baseball team in particular losing $2 billion. The Trevor Bauer thing is interesting, though, here, and I'll tell you why. Because Trevor Bauer had once written a piece about how he doesn't think he would take a long-term deal because he wants to be on a contender every year. So he would only sign maybe a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal at most. The Trevor Bauer one surprised me. That's why I think that there's a lot of teams, and baseball's done this before. I think they did it back in 1984. They got sued over that. They were argued with doing it just this last couple of years, where there always seems to be some sort of collusion going on between owners about how much they're going to spend. And that always makes you raise an eyebrow. Now you have the Dodgers, who are an outlier, the Yankees, who have been an outlier. Boston's fitting back in. The Cubs are fitting back in. But you've always had that kind of collusion there with price fixing in Major League Baseball. No better time to price fix than during a pandemic. Let's be serious. Is that it?
That'll do it for Work or Shoot.
You've done a hell of a job. You know that? You've done a hell of a job. Congratulations to you, Botch. Am I with you next week?
Christmas Day, I believe.
Oh, that's going to be a hell of a show, 10 to 2. We have a hell of a finish coming up to this one. I might do the Home Alone theory. I will certainly try to take your calls, 855-212-4CBS. And Anthony Lynn's a good coach. He's just in the wrong decade. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio. Right now, it's the latest sports update with Erica Herskowitz. 855-212-4227. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's brought to you by the fine folks at Geico. Whether you rent or own, oh, my goodness. Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance together. Having a home, it's hard work. So get a quote today at geico.com. That, as always, is easy. Also, tomorrow, the NFL on CBS slate has teams making their playoff push, including the Dolphins trying to hold on to their wild card spot against the Patriots, and the 49ers trying to stay alive in the NFC race when they take on the Dallas Cowboys. Coverage begins at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, with the NFL today. Tomorrow, the NFL is on CBS. Was Justin Fields just picked off? Looks like it. But I tell you what's going to really make people upset is when Ohio State loses this game and they still find a way to get into the college football playoff. Then you know it's rigged. Then you know it's coming after you. 855-212-4CBS. Oh, that's a hell of a play by that guy. Boy, today might be one. I don't know. It's still early. Today might be one of them days. I want to get to Lou in South Carolina real quick, and I still don't know. Maybe, Botch, if we're going to do the show together on Friday, maybe I should just do the Home Alone theory for the final time then.
Oh, yeah. It's Christmas Day, so.
Should I just do it then on Christmas Day?
It would be fitting.
Yeah. I mean, if you listen to this show with any regularity, like, you're probably watching the games right now. So, you know what? Probably going to do it Christmas Day. I want to make sure I get into a good lather because it's the final time I could do it because now everybody else has caught on to it and it's just not as much fun. 855-212-4CBS. Ohio State, if they win this game 12-10, they're still going to go to the college football playoff. That's going to make people upset. And Northwestern's not a bad team. You heard about Pat Fitzgerald. They returned a lot of starters this year. Again, Pat Fitzgerald is a good, quality coach, and I can say all the platitudes about him that have already been said because they're all true. All the guys hitting the trust yourself sign on the way in. See, that's how you build a culture there at Northwestern. So if you're a big guy, I tell you, everybody's rooting against Ohio State. If you get into the college football playoff, you got to win this game here. Then if you get into the college football playoff, get ready. You are going to be the bad guy. And you're probably not going to win this game. Ohio State's offense is an offense that could turn it on at any time. But I'm guessing you're probably not going to win this game 35-10 or 34-10. I'm guessing it's not going to go that way. So if you win tight, there's going to be an argument. Six games, you're 6-0, but you won tight. And if you lose, that's the last thing college football wants. That's the last thing they want. They want you. That committee wants you in. They want you mad. They want guys like Andre in Indianapolis defending them. They want other people. I've had one call defending Ohio State. Everybody else is hating their guts. That's what they want because they know that that's going to draw dollars. Let me get to Lou in South Carolina. You're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Lou.
Hey, how you doing? Love your show.
Thank you very much, Lou. Go right on ahead.
Listen, question for you. What you said about Ben Roethlisberger before, I'm sorry to go back to a previous segment, but
ahead,
I had to be picked
care.
Up off the kitchen floor by my wife after you said this.
What?
Let me ask you a question. You got 2 minutes left in the game. You got to drive 70 yards to win the game. You have the 2 minute warning timeout and two other timeouts. Would you rather have Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Brady under helm?
I think I'd be nervous with either one of them right now because both are banged up.
But the offensive line of Ben's is really bad.
Okay, well, you got to turn down the radio just a little bit there, Lou, okay, because I can hear myself in the background, and it throws off the whole rhythm of everything. Okay, so when it comes to – so what was the problem with what I said about Ben Roethlisberger here compared with Tom Brady? Because Tom, I guess I'd rather – right now at 38 years old, I'd rather have Tom Brady, so what's the problem?
No, I don't want to argue to disagree, but the thing is, you said that Ben had 2 to 3 times more talent.
Oh, I certainly natural talent. I absolutely
kitchen floor. I had to be picked up off the kitchen floor.
I don't know why you need to be picked up off the kitchen floor for that, Lou. Have you seen? I mean, did you see Ben Roethlisberger and his body type when he came out of college, and Tom Brady and his body type when he came out of college? I think Tom Brady's had to work harder for what he's had than anything Ben Roethlisberger's had to do.
Oh, definitely.
That's the only thing I'm saying. Go ahead.
I'm going to talk about current conditions.
Current conditions of both men being at the end of their careers, Tom Brady at 42 going on 43 and Ben Roethlisberger at 38 but not taking care of himself the way that Tom Brady has.
Yeah.
I would probably rather have Tom – I would rather have Tom Brady. Have Tom Brady, yes.
All right, good. The sprained elbow I have, picking myself up off the floor, I feel better about now, Evan.
Thank you very much for the call, Lou.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. No, the only thing I'm saying about – and maybe I said that too quickly. The way I saw Ben Roethlisberger coming out of college, like, I see a weapon like that, and I go, how did he end up at Miami of Ohio? No offense to Miami of Ohio. It's a mid-major school, and you got to be really smart to go to Miami of Ohio. Like, they have a strong academic standard there. It's the Princeton of Ohio, or whatever they call it. The Ivy League of the Midwest, whatever. There is something with Ben Roethlisberger, and this is why I'm still overall disappointed with his entire career. I see the picture, the picture of Tom Brady coming out of the combine is famous. He's standing there in his skivvies. I mean, he looks like he hasn't had a decent dinner in a very long period of time. I don't know why he decided to thin. It looks like he thinned out for the combine. He doesn't look good. And I see what Tom Brady's done. Tom Brady's had to work harder for what he has. I think if Ben Roethlisberger had the type of mentality, the type of craftsmanship that what Tom Brady has, I think Ben Roethlisberger probably would have taken 2 titles away from Tom Brady. I think he'd probably have 4. I think that Tom Brady would probably have 4. I brought up the years before, and I'd have to get the notes out. There's been a couple of years where even the Jacksonville game, you know, he played well against Jacksonville. It just went to hell, and you can talk about play calling all you want. But there's been some seasons where they've been good, and they have faltered, and I think that part of this is because do you do what some of the other ones that are in your category do you do what they've done? Peyton Manning, I don't need to worry about getting ready for a football game. Tom Brady, I don't have to do that. Aaron Rodgers, I don't think I have to do that. The guys of your age group that are in your category of guaranteed first ballot Hall of Famers, Ben Roethlisberger is one of them. And by the time it's all said and done, the Hall of Fame's the Hall of Fame, so I'm probably making too big of an issue about it, but since we are in the moment here, I'll go ahead and I'll do that. What I saw out of Ben Roethlisberger at the beginning of this year was the type of quarterback that could win another Super Bowl. Now, they've had injuries, that's granted, but everybody else has. So, yes, you have to change a little bit. But doing this, becoming defensive about the play calling, becoming defensive about the passing attack, where your offensive coordinator has been a run-first type of guy, something's fishy. This is why I don't want to just subscribe to something because it's dramatic, but this is why I believe more and more of what Chris Mueller writes in Pittsburgh. I know that nobody really wants to blame Ben Roethlisberger there, but watching Pittsburgh since that game against Tennessee in Week 7 where it was a Jekyll and Hyde, they go in, they got a cushion, and it felt like Ben Roethlisberger said to himself, I got this much cushion, I'm going to come out here and I'm going to go and try some different things. And that's what I think that they tried to do. And ever since then, I don't think Ben Roethlisberger's gone back. I think Big Ben, the new Ben, went back to the old Ben. And I think that could cost them in the future. And that could cost them in the postseason. If I break down the teams that I think have the best shot to knock off Kansas City, I would throw Cleveland in the mix. I would throw Tennessee in the mix. I would throw Buffalo in the mix. Baltimore I'm worried about because it's so weird, their pass game. And their run game's predicated on one person. Their defense has been decent, except they can't get a real good pass rush. I don't know if this is their year for Baltimore, especially with their offensive injuries. I think a team can get ahead of them and stay ahead of them, a la Kansas City, a la Tennessee. I think they can get ahead of them and stay ahead of them. I think that those teams probably have a better shot to beat Kansas City than what Pittsburgh does. Sometimes it just doesn't go your way with the injuries. But to watch Ben Roethlisberger play like the way he's played over the last few weeks, it leads me to major questions about him. And it's at the worst possible time. I wonder if I'm going to be saying this, and if I get the new champion's pose, you know I'll love to. But at the end of this year, in the playoffs, do we look back at Week 7 and say that win was the worst thing for them? Because if they lose that game, Ben Roethlisberger's proven. You went back to old Ben, you lost your team a football game that you had no business losing. And it came down to a field goal that Gostkowski missed. If they lose that game, does that restructure Ben Roethlisberger to this is where you're supposed to be now? You can't do it the way you used to. Because I think there was a bit of Ben in there that said, I can still do this the way I am. And now I'm hearing about he's hurt. I know about his offensive line's injuries. And you're going to run yourself out of gas before we've even gotten to the end of Week 15. You got Cincinnati coming up. That's a get-right game. That should be an easier get-right game for Pittsburgh and their offense to get them back on track, to hopefully give them some momentum to get into the postseason, and then, or as they go into the postseason, because they're still leading the division, for crying out loud, but to get into the postseason and then continue to go into the postseason. Like, there's always a possibility, and we could be wrong about these things, but watching Ben Roethlisberger over the last month makes me think. It makes me wonder about him. 855-212-4CBS. You know, watching these games right now and seeing about fairness, I can't wait to see what tomorrow brings. I can't wait to see what the argument becomes because of this. You know, watching Ohio State play so tight against Northwestern. I made a joke at the beginning of the segment about Ohio State still getting in if they lose. Obviously, they wouldn't get in if they lose. I think this is going to be a tight win, and this is still going to be an argument. You know, A&M, I think A&M fan has a gripe. I think everybody on earth has a gripe with this. But they're still going to pick business over fairness. And at the end of this, this is not going to be fair. And while I think that Dabo Swinney has put his foot in his mouth a couple of times, and yeah, I think what Brian Kelly, by the way, I know I was supposed to bring this up earlier in the show, what Brian Kelly said about the fans and about the family, while you roll your eyes at it, what he did was brilliant. And if you get a chance, read Dan Wetzel's column about it and what he did to put a spotlight on what's going on with the Rose Bowl right now. Because while Brian Kelly, people are going to roll their eyes and go, fat chance you're going to take Notre Dame out of there. Of course he's not going to take Notre Dame out of there if the family can't. But what he says puts a spotlight on the Rose Bowl, and what I thought Dan Wetzel wrote was perfect, where we're acquiescing to a sunset and a parade for college football when we've done none of that throughout the entire year of college football. I think Dan Wetzel couldn't have been more right about what he wrote. Credit where it's due. Go read Dan Wetzel's column on that on Yahoo. But what Brian Kelly may say about having to play more games, what Dabo has to say about it, while I can disagree, certainly with Dabo, because I think that Dabo has said some things that certainly haven't aged very well over the last year. What he said about social justice, what he said about the pandemic, there's been some things I really wish he probably would have thought better of before he said it. But he said it, it's out there, and he wins a lot, so he gets away with it. Whether that's right or wrong, that's in your eyes. But what Dabo says about Ohio State, and honestly, even what Dan Mullen said, as whiny as it sounded, even what Dan Mullen said is true. If you're Florida, you're 8-1 going into the game against LSU. You're playing an extra game against LSU where you really don't even think you should. Your next week's game is already solidified there. And it was just one more opportunity to make you look bad. It's still up to you to go out and beat a team that's struggling. LSU could be under NCAA violations coming up very soon. I know that they tried to fall on the grenade themselves, as stupid as pointless as that was. It was still an opportunity for Florida to go out and lose a game. As much as I disagree with the messenger who sent the message is probably the right one. And for all this, if Ohio State gets out of here with a win, where they're down 10-6 right now, if Ohio State, quote-unquote, escapes with a tight win against Northwestern, it's going to make this evening even more fun, and it's going to make next week and the week after even tighter because we are going to be paying attention. And Ohio State, just like Razor Ramon, you needed a bad guy in the WWF back then. You need a bad guy in college football. Ohio State, if you win today, you better be ready to wear the black hat. Big thanks to Pierno Boccioni, as well as Marco and Erica. I'm Ken Carmen. Chris Moore next. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Arrow will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Arrow can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Arrow. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.